Hello, friends. This is Pastor Harley with the Broadway Global Methodist Church. This is podcast number 7 in our 7 Days of Christmas series for 2022. Coming to you from the church to look at 7 named people in the gospel accounts of the birth of Christ. And this is the one for the prophetess Anna. So let us read in Luke chapter 2. What it says about Anna. We have just had the scene where Simeon has said that he has now seen the Lord's Christ as the Lord promised him to be, and he even gave to Mary the information that this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. But then it goes to say, verse 36, and there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so, if you're doing this this as a portrait, as one of the great artists of the past might do, you would have Simeon holding the child and Anna coming up to just with her arms raised and saying, "Well, praise God, this is the child." She comes up at that very moment and begin and just thanks God and speaks of this child to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So one of the legacies of Simeon and Anna is that people are going to be remembering that there was that child born, and where is he? And that is why they would come up with things like, yeah, remember the prophecy that says, out of Egypt I've called my son? Do you understand how things are in Judea now with King Herod and the Herods after him? That people would be saying, he's here, but he's hidden. And we're waiting for his advent. And so when John the Baptist would come out saying, you know, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning the king is right near with you, people were ready and responsive. Because there was a sense of readiness among the people. But Anna comes out as someone who is the early adopter of this sense of readiness. She doesn't have a word from God like Simeon did, that you will not depart this life until you see the child. But Anna is revealed as a prophetess. She was known to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be able to give a word from God to people. And we do love the fact that she's a daughter of Phanuel, who we've never heard of, out of the tribe of Asher. And I am telling you, you have to go back into the Old Testament quite a ways to get the last mention of the people of the tribe of Asher. Asher indeed was one of the children of Jacob, the sons of Israel, as it is said. And one of the tribes, they did not make a great splash as to being key players in all the times of David the king and Solomon. And in fact, a great number of the tribe of Asher would have been just simply lost at the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel. But here she comes. And she is of the tribe of Asher. She is holding on to the promises of God. It's not that she can say, well, it's because we're going to deserve that, or because my people have stood fast with God, or I've done. No, it is her response that is key. And all these people who are named as part of this genealogy that is given about Mary or Joseph and Simeon and Zechariah and Elizabeth and now Anna. It is not their genealogy that is key, but the fact that they are in readiness for what God is doing. They're the people who are on the edge of their seats. If you want to be a person like Anna, you could be, say, a person that's, I'm waiting for the next thing that God is doing. I don't care if I have to wait till I'm 84. I want to see the thing that God is doing. And in the midst, you might understand that this attitude of readiness lead you to have many things that God does in your life. If Anna is called a prophetess, that means people were coming to her for prayer. They're coming to her with their heart concerns. They're coming to her recognizing that around her God has been at work, and they want to be near that. And they recognize that she worships with fasting and prayer night and day. Consider that Anna stands in the temple courts, looking up the night sky and saying, I know what the creator of all those stars, he has got planned for Israel, and I want to see it. She sees the sun come up and is thankful for God.
She worships with fasting. Why would this holy woman bother to fast that much more? Because when one fasts, one is not eating, and when one feels that pang of hunger, you say, yes, that's right, I'm going to pray just that much more. And standing and praying to God. You know, when we look at the record, the law of Moses and the temple sacrifice, which seems to be like, you shall bring this animal and you shall kill it before the Lord and you shall pour its blood out here and you shall put this part of its carcass there, you shall roast that meat, you shall just dispose of that, and only the priest may do this. We get the idea of something very regimented, very ritualistic. And the ritual was important to keep the faith, so that when the Son of God here first is carried into the temple, and then when he strides into there as a man, the worship that Moses set forth is actually being enacted there. And what God set forth to point to the work of his Son Jesus on the cross is now still going on, you know, recognizably, as Moses easily 1500 years before had set down for it to be, as God revealed to him. And so, but in midst of this regimentation, realize Anna is somebody who has an individual walk with God, a life of devotion and faith and passion. There's no law that says you shall, if you become 84, you shall fast and pray day and night in the temple. Nobody told her to do that. She was allowed to do, well, almost anything else with herself, including sit down and say, boy, my bones hurt, and boy, I need to eat regular meals rather than fasting all the time. And I think I'm probably, my voice is not what it once was, so let somebody else say the prayers out loud. And if other people want to say the psalms and stuff, well, just they may help themselves. I'm old. And but so there, you know, in fact, though we can kind of make fun of the idea of people at any one time going into the house of God where God is doing his major things and saying, well, I've done my bit and I'm learning to say no, we can be held up accountable and just answerable for ourselves to say that Anna apparently never went around saying no to God at all. She was expecting and on the edge of her seat waiting for the next thing that God was going to do. But also it is beyond what was required of her. She would have been a righteous and devout person if she was at home and taking care of, doing her bit and taking care of the household and off to the synagogue on the Sabbath. But she has a life that is a response to what she's saying God do in her life. What the Word of God has done is she has encountered it read and sung in the temple. As God has been alongside her in prayer, her life is one of response. So it doesn't say in the law of Moses that if you become a great age, you shall be a holy woman that fasts and prays. But she has taken it upon herself, understanding, living in response to what God has done, that this is her devotional response. See, people had a strong religious walk with God. The structure of the Old Testament worship is there, but the people were moved by the Psalms as we are moved by the Psalms. They're moved by the drama of the prophets and the kings as we are moved by hearing about them. They see God at work and answered prayer and in the lives of our families and the lives of our community. And they responded as we would expect people to respond. Come alongside Anna and understand that as she is a light to devotion and prayer, your life is also open. You know, you can pray as much as you want. You can fast and pray and worship the Lord. There are opportunities everywhere and every day. What are we setting aside that we could be doing just as a free response to God? And also, how is our life a testimony to what God has done? She can say, this is that child, and sets a seed of expectation that is going to burst into flame at the ministry of John the Baptist and the coming of Jesus to preach and teach about the kingdom of God. But we can also lay many seeds in people's lives. It is not just a good example game. You know, can you be as a great example and live a life as nice as Anna or Simeon lived? But we are living in response to God who sent his son Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. We're lost without him. We have a debt of sin we cannot pay. We have an oncoming death that we cannot overcome. But Jesus comes so that men may not perish, but have eternal life. It's a good time now to settle your accounts with God. To say, God, yes, I can see myself living in response to you. Can you give me the grace, God, to repent before you of my sin? To trust Jesus Christ wholly, for it does say that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Anna knew that Jesus was Lord. Anna knew that she had met the Lord of life that day. As it says in the first book of John, what our eyes have seen, what our hands have touched, this we can convey to you about the word of life. The word of life was in that child Jesus when we celebrate this Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Be in church. Worship Christmas Eve and Christmas. And respond to God who loves you so much. Be blessed. This has been Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway Global Methodist Church. And thank you for being with us for these podcasts, the 7 days of Christmas, here in 2022. God bless.